This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am thoroughly delighted to be with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. You know what we do on these days? Every day, let us rejoice in it, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what circumstance or situation you're facing, no matter the trial that might be yours, I can tell you something for sure, for certain. What I can tell you for sure and for certain is that our Lord is there with you in the midst of it. You know, there's that beautiful, that preposition with is an important preposition. I love get parts of speech, and I love parts of the sentence. I love the whole thing. I was an English teacher. I loved grammar. But you know, the word with, think about with. What does that preposition with do? It connects things, doesn't it? It connects things. So when we say that the Lord is with you, Emmanuel, God with us, we're being connected to him. It's a statement of fact that, indeed, there is nothing that is outside of God's providential love for us and nothing that is outside of his presence to us, because God is always what? With us. And with regard to with, he is drawing us to himself, and we, in response, draw him near to us by our will. So all of that being said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us praise God for all of the manifold ways in which he is with us in our lives and the way is in which we see him in our lives. Do want to let you know that we are here live for you today, but we're not accepting phone calls. We had some lightning strikes here the other night. And those lightning strikes took out some of our equipment. And one of the major pieces of equipment that was taken out in the radio department was our ability to receive calls. So as a result of that, until that piece of equipment is fixed and repaired and gets back to up in good order and running, we're not able to take your calls today. But we are live for you. We have a whole bunch of calls that have come into us from on our listener comment line. We're going to be taking some of those questions and some of those comments that are made that way. And I want to let you know that that opportunity is available to you 24/7. You can always use our listener comment call to get your question or your comment to us. That number is country code 1-205-795-5773. That is country code 1-205-795-5773. So we invite you to use that opportunity. And you can also email questions to us. Email us at womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's another way that you can send your questions to us. Now, normally when our equipment is up and operational, we are able to receive your calls, and we love doing that. And we are also generally able to take your questions out there in social media land, but today we can't do that. However, if you are out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, I am there with you, and you can see me there. So you can see me, but gee whiz, we can't communicate together. But what a wonderful thing it is that we can at least be together. Do want to remind you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of neat things happening, all kinds of good things coming up. We really, really do have a very full fall schedule. You might as well take advantage of the opportunity to get a heads up on it so that you can join us for some of our wonderful events taking place in person, as well as events taking place online. as I've been sharing with you the last couple of days, we are very eager for our Women of Grace Foundational Study to begin again this fall in person in so many locations. And you'll see right at our website in the purple navigational bar an option there, a tab that says study information. And if you click on that, it will give you a really, really good chance of finding a study group that is going on in your area in person and the opportunity to register for a study group right there. So we invite you to check that out. But the online events are listed for you right there underneath events. We've got an upcoming one. We are looking for women who would like to join us in this great apostolic work of transforming the world one woman at a time. And since the world is so big and there are so many women in the world, we're never going to be finished. And we can use helpers. Yes, we can. We can use good laborers in this vineyard. So I am inviting you to consider joining us as a facilitator, both for our young Women of Grace study, as well as for our adult Women of Grace study. Maybe you want to facilitate both. Maybe you want to facilitate one or the other. But how is the Holy Spirit prompting you? And I tell you, you know, like, is he prompting you? And I guess the question is, well, how do I know if he's prompting me? Well, I can give you some indicators. If, as I am speaking and even sharing this opportunity, you begin to feel a little interior flutter, take that to be the wings of the Holy Spirit, right? He is fluttering there, letting you know that he is offering you this beautiful opportunity, that it is God's will for you to give fiat to this and to join us. Another way that you know if God is calling you to this is as you hear me speaking, if you are sitting there saying, oh, dear God, please don't let it be me. Please don't let it be me. Then, you know, you can be pretty certain that he is calling you. And if your hands are getting a little sweaty right now and you're beginning to feel a little out of your comfort zone, my guess is it most definitely is the Holy Spirit moving you along. So please give fiat to that, because there are many hearts, many beautiful, beautiful hearts of many, many women who need to experience what you can bring to them. You know, I think about this. You know, God has chosen this population of people for this particular moment in time. We know that God chose us in him. We know that he chose us in him from before the very foundations of the world were laid in place. We know that because that's what Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells us. You can look it up on your own. I encourage you to do so. It tells you wonderful things about you, that you are the chosen daughter, the chosen son of the Most High God, and that he has a plan and a mission for you. And the plan and the mission is for this moment in time, not for other moments in time, but for today and for every day. And so this God, is very determinative in relation to the bringing forth of human beings made in his image and likeness for specific moments in time. And you were made for this time, and this time was made for you. And so we want for you to consider joining us. God has a work for you. If it's with Women of Grace, it would only bring us so much joy and so much blessing. And only you can reach those women who would be entrusted to you through the gifts and talents that you have. God will bring them all to the fore, and we'll help you to discover them and to work with them and to move in them. So I do encourage you to check it out right there online at womenofgrace.com in our upcoming events. In the meantime, you are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnnet Williams. We're going to come back and dip into our listener comment line, caller questions and comments. And we're going to be discussing those together on this beautiful Friday in the Lord. It is a Glory to God Friday. And I'll be giving you just some insight into the blessings I've received this week. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Oh, Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I was sharing with you earlier that we're not taking any calls today because we cannot. And the reason why we cannot is because our piece of equipment got struck by lightning. A big lightning strike here at the network last week. You know, it's very interesting that we do occasionally get hit by lightning here at EWTN. And that isn't unusual. And as I've shared with you time and time again, you know, when you're doing a work for the Lord, you've got to prepare yourself for a trial or for struggle. The word is translated in many different ways, depending upon the particular Bible that you might have. But the fact of the matter is, it's all communicating one thought. And that is this, that when you are working for the Lord, the evil one isn't happy. And the evil one lets you know that. And the way in which he lets you know that is by diabolical interference. And oftentimes it comes through, you know, the natural. It comes through things that happen, you know, and this in instance, of course, you know, when we get struck by lightning around here, we think, okay, well, then we must be doing something really right now, or he would not be so upset. And you can look at the situations and circumstances in your own life from that lens, from that perspective. We can't blame everything on the devil. I'm not suggesting that we blame everything on the devil. Sometimes, just living in a broken and fallen world, the realities of that brokenness and that fallenness pop up, you know, and they pop up in misery and disease. Sometimes, however, you know, there's a connection to the timing, you know, there's a connection to the timing. So all of that to say, we're not able to take your calls, but that doesn't mean we don't like being with you. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're not aware of you. You know, we're very aware of you, and I'm quite aware of you as I sit here in front of this microphone. And so it is that we do invite you to use the means available for this present time. And one of those means is through our listener comment line. And I encourage you anytime, whether the equipment's up or down, you get a question in your mind and it's the wee hours of the morning, you can always call the listener comment line and you can leave a question for us and we'll get to it on a particular day. And this is a prime opportunity for us to dig into those calls that have been left for us. Let me give you that number. This is the number for you to use. Again, available to you 24/7. It's country code 1-205-795-5773. So it's 205-795-5773. You can also email questions to us. Just use this address, Women of Grace, all one word, Women of Grace, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We'll get those questions, and then on a day when we're doing a pre-record for an occasion where I'm not going to be available for radio, or on a day when we just want to mix up it a little bit and take some of your calls and dip into some of those questions that have come in for us, well, then we will address it. So you're always free to use those opportunities. And maybe over the next couple of days, that would be a really good thing. Not quite certain when the equipment is going to be fixed, but I think sooner than later, because I know they're working on it really hard. So social media, of course, available for you out there. I am with you. I'm waving to you. And if you're at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, you can see me doing this little wave. I hope you see my smile. I know you can hear it, even if you can't see it. So we've got some things going on here, and I do want to remind you, it is a Glory to God Friday. Every Friday, we look at the blessings that we've received in this past week, and we give public acclamation, public glory and praise to God for the way in which he showed up in our life. And one of the beautiful ways in which he's shown up in my life, of course, you know that we had our Women of Grace retreat last week, and we so enjoyed it. Oh my goodness, it was just absolutely over the top. Just a wonderful, wonderful gathering, and beautiful, beautiful talks that were delivered. The Holy Spirit was just abundantly present, abundantly moving. The healing service was just really, really quite amazing. I mean, quite amazing. It was just so beautiful and grand. And it was lovely. But then I had a blessing that I was able to bring back with me. And that blessing was my 20-year-old granddaughter, who had been at the event and then came home with Jack and with me and has spent this week with us. She's leaving today, but she's been with us this whole week. But I do want to tell you this. You're going to have an opportunity to get to know her a little bit, because on Monday, We have a special program lined up, and Jack is with me. It's Monthly Marriage Monday, but Jack is going to be out of town, so we did a pre-record, and it worked out so grandly because Julia was here, and we incorporated her into our Monthly Marriage Monday pre-record for you, which you're going to hear on Monday, and she gives us basically, a young adult perspective of marriage, and you're not going to want to miss it. You're really not going to want to miss it because I think that Jack and I just sat here with our mouths agape, at some of the wisdom that she was sharing with us as a 20-year-old. So I'm inviting you to be sure to mark Monday as a special day to listen to Women of Grace because it's a very, very special program. But in the meantime, I told you, we have a lot of calls that have come in through our listener comment line. And Vanessa Sanchez, the lovely, beautiful Vanessa, whom I'm waving to right now since I'm on campus today, is going to get those going for us right this minute. So Vanessa, let's go to the very first one.
I was listening to Women of Grace with Johnette. And people were calling in regarding, prayer requests and praising God. Anyway, we've had a lot of miracles, but we need a special miracle for our grandson who had an Achilles tendon surgery. And for some reason, it hit all of a nerve. And it's a disease. It's called a disease that there's no known cure for it right now. And he has been in constant pain for the last 4 weeks, and so we're just praying to Padre Pio, Carlos Acutis, and all the saints that hopefully they can come up with something that that he can be relieved of this pain and it could be cured. So, and it's called CRPS, and it's an incurable process on his leg, and he's only in his early 20s, so we just ask for constant prayers for him. Thank you. We love your program. Thanks, Johnette. God bless you and your staff. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so very much. And I'll tell you what, I understand the suffering that you're experiencing by way of this diagnosis for your grandson. And these things are so, so very difficult when we see anyone that we love struggling. And when it's one of our grandchildren, I'll tell you, and you know this so, so very, very well, my dear sister in Christ, there is this special bond that we have for our grandchildren, an undeniable bond that is there. And when they are suffering, it tears us apart. It is almost similar, and maybe exactly similar, to the way that we feel when our child is suffering. So I know that you are going through quite a bit as well in light of this diagnosis. And let me just say this. You talk about the intercession of two great, great saints who are going to be canonized in a very, very short period of time here. And of course, we do beseech the saints in heaven. But the intercession that we make for our loved ones is so very, very powerful. And of all the intercessions that we can make, the intercession that is most imitative of our Lord Jesus Christ is our suffering. Because when he hung on the cross, that is what Jesus offered to his Father for the sake of our salvation. It was the suffering that he endured that brought us and bought us eternal life. Right? And so when we allow our suffering to be joined to the passion of Jesus, then our suffering becomes outrageously efficacious. So the very worry that you have, the anxiety that you're feeling, the concern, the sadness of heart, the misery of pain that you are feeling on behalf of this young person is really the stuff that makes for great prayer. And I want to tell you something, and it's interesting because I was just having a conversation about this earlier today. The fact of the matter is, these truths of our faith, this mystery of suffering, this redemptive action of our Lord Jesus Christ is not closed. It happened in time. It happened in time. And that time in which it happened, when he hung on the cross on that particular Friday in a particular week, in a particular month of a particular year, in a particular decade, you know, a particular century, a particular millennium, that is what basically was the engine that started the process. Oh my goodness, I have an anointing on that. It was the starting point. It was the starting point. And so this sacrifice of Jesus, you know, that happened in time doesn't end in time. Even though his body was taken down from the cross and he was in the tomb for 3 days and he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father, this act of salvation is a perpetual action. And we enter into that at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. So when you go to the Mass, you are entering into the very passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, now in an unbloody form, but nonetheless real and true and efficacious. Now, here's the thing with regard to all of that. Oh my goodness sakes, it is such a remarkable reality. And it's there for us. It's there for us. Heaven pours out upon us opportunities for incredible, incredible encounters with God. The fact of the matter is, this salvific action of Christ is left open so that we too can take all of our suffering, all of our sadness, all of our misery, all of the reversals of life, and we can, in a certain sense, put it into the suffering of Christ in that moment. But not just that, but suffer with Christ in that moment. And in some mysterious way that we'll never be able to comprehend in this life, but can taste and begin to perceive and can begin to experience, we are basically even lightening the load for our Lord. That consolation that we're offering by way of our suffering being united to his suffering is a consolation that somehow God intended for our Lord to experience, that great, great gift and offering of ours, that in a certain sense brings him and brought him some consolation even as he suffered that passion in time. I don't understand it, but I know that it's true and real. And so this grandmotherly suffering that you're feeling for your young man, this grandmotherly, even that, my dear, even that suffering that you feel on behalf of him is in some way alleviating some of his suffering, even though he doesn't recognize it or realize it. Now we take that. Now we take that into the eternal moment. Now we take it into that moment of our Lord's own suffering, which is forever and always in the present moment, because God is in the present moment and all of the mysteries of God are in the present moment. And we place it there. And that becomes very efficacious intercessory prayer for your grandson. So I want you to know that. So every time that stab of the heart comes, oh my goodness, you know, that is the opportunity. That is the opportunity. And I think that the best way to do that, just a little practical way in which we affect this, you know, the words, of course, are very meaningful. But I think that we can add to that by just pausing, so that pain, that experience of suffering wrenches, you know, our heart. Okay, all right, it wrenches. Now what do we do? All right, now we recollect. Now we recollect. And we realize that this is a great moment, that this is a great moment. That the eternal moment is being made present to us, and that pain that we feel is in a sense the verification of the reality that this is the time. It's God's prompting. All right, now take this suffering and envision yourself there with our Lord. Use the gift of your imagination. And this is what I like to do. I like to picture him hanging on the cross. And I like to picture his wounds. And I like to take that suffering that I'm experiencing, and I see myself approaching his cross, and I see myself approaching the wound that is most correlative to the suffering. In this case, for your young person, you see this, and perhaps it's one of the wounds on his brow from the crowning of thorns. And we have opportunity now. And we have opportunity to climb that cross, to climb that cross, and to take that suffering and to put it right into that wound that is most correlative to the particular need, to the particular physical reality that someone might be experiencing, or even emotional reality. You can picture the wound, of our Lord in his side. And you can take that suffering and place it there. Place it there. Jesus' heart, so broken by rejection and abandonment and betrayal and lack of understanding, being ridiculed and mocked. It broke his heart. And you can take all of that and you can put it there. You can put it there. And you can just sit with that now. You just sit with that. You allow yourself to let the Holy Spirit work in this moment in you and through you. And something happens. Something mystical and real and supernatural begins to take place. We might not see it. We might not feel it. But our lack of sight and our lack of comprehension through the emotions in no way negates what's happening. And so, this is a very beautiful way to pray. And it is a living out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, where Paul cries out, "For I make up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church." Now, when we come back, we're going to pray for your grandson. So if you're listening today, don't go away, because the prayer is coming. But for all of you suffering, look at what it is that our God provides for us. Rejoice and be glad in this day. We're coming right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and we're happy to be with you today. I just want to let you know about some of the beautiful things that are happening here at EWTN. I often share with you, we're always doing something at Women of Grace. Well, EWTN is always doing something to the max. EWTN has so many wonderful outreaches and so many beautiful things that take place. But I do want to just offer you the fact that in addition to the beautiful things that are always happening through broadcasting and other forms of communication that EWTN engages in, such as social media, we do have a publishing arm. EWTN Publishing offers you many, many wonderful books, and most of these books are books that are being written by contemporary authors, but sometimes we kind of give you books that are being republished, and here is one that is just really, really fantastic, and I'm really excited about this, because the release date is very, very soon for this beautiful book, written by someone whom those of you who have been with us for a while will remember, Father Robert Fox. And here is the title: Eucharist, Heaven, and Earth Unite. Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite. And in this book, you will experience the power of Jesus' real presence among us. You'll see how Jesus is the very reflection of the Father and how God loves you intensely through his sacrifice on Calvary and his enduring presence in the Holy Mass. You'll gain insights on the Holy Eucharist, Scripture, the faith, Eucharistic miracles, the Fatima apparitions, and more. You'll discover why Eucharistic adoration is crucial to growing in charity and union with our Lord, and how Holy Mass was celebrated in the early church period. So this again is Eucharist, Heaven and Earth Unite by Father Robert J. Fox. Now, I think that this is the Robert Fox that I knew from years ago, but there could be another Robert Fox. So I'll have to check that out a little bit. But that being said, it is available to you soon, but you can pre-order your copy today. How do you do that? You simply go to buycatholic.shop, EWTNRC.com. buycatholic.shop, EWTNRC.com. So I encourage you to check this out. It sounds like a wonderful book. And one thing I know is that Eucharistic adoration is something that we should all strive to do more of, your host included. So that being said, this is a wonderful book to help jumpstart that. Well, in the meantime, we're going to say a prayer now. We're going to offer petition for this young man who is going through this very difficult time through as a result of this terrible disease that seems to be incurable, that causes such great pain. Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and you know the suffering of your son. You know the suffering of your son on the cross, and you know the suffering of this son of yours who has this disease. You know all of the effects of this disease, the symptoms of this disease. You also know the genesis of this disease. And sometimes these things evade modern science and technology. You've gifted us with modern science and technology, which helps us to understand not only the diseases that plague man, but also that you help us to see what the remedies are for them. In this case, we don't see yet. But that doesn't mean that you don't see. You do see. You see completely and totally what is the cause of this disease. And you know completely and totally how this disease can be eradicated. And so I'm asking now in this moment that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that this debilitating disease causing so much pain and suffering in this young man, I'm asking, Father God, that you would heal him. I'm asking that you would heal him completely and you would heal him totally. I'm thinking of all of the miracles now, Father, that your son worked when he walked on this earth. And we know that this healing power has not ended. We know that this healing power continues. And we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Father God, just as he healed when he walked on the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit, he heals now. And I don't know what is best for this young man. I really don't. I know you do. And if it is a complete and total healing here, then I'm asking you would bring this about, Lord. I'm asking that you would not delay, but that you would make haste to help him. I'm asking that any of the kind of lingering effects of this disease would also be eradicated, and that it would be expunged from his body, and that he would be made whole and well. I ask, Lord, also too, that for the duration of time that this cross is his, that he would use this cross. He would use this cross in reparation for his own sin, in reparation for the sins of the world, and in reparation for the disastrous ways in which we affect each other's lives. I'm asking, too, that he would use it as a means of alleviation of the sufferings of others in union with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you bring peace of mind and heart and soul to his grandmother, who is so concerned, to his parents, to all of those who love him. And so it is with full trust and full confidence in you that we lift him up now, Lord. We lift him up right now. And I'm thinking that, you know, just as the friends of the man lowered him through the hole in the roof, we right now are raising this young man up to you, going in the opposite direction to meet the very one who healed the man who was presented to him on the mat down through the opening in the roof. And so it is, Father, that we thank you and praise you for the work that you're doing. We thank you and praise you for all that you have yet to do. We thank you and praise you that you are never, never away from us and that you never abandon us, but you are there with every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need for every moment in time. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity. I think your name was Mary. Thank you for giving us that beautiful opportunity to pray for your grandson. God bless you. All right, Vanessa, I think we've got another prayer intention coming up.
It's regarding my great-granddaughter. Mom's a little worried right now. They're starting school here in the middle of August, and she hasn't been to preschool, and she hasn't really been taught at home any, you know, letters, numbers, et cetera, like most children. She's just been brought up a little different, maybe. My concern is her mom just called and said she's not sure she's ready for kindergarten. Well, she's old enough for it. I don't know. I just want to know what God's will is for this. I don't want her going there and be intimidated because she doesn't know her letters and numbers. And with the kids all going to nursery school now, and she has not, please pray for him. She doesn't even go to, like, the Bible school. She's baptized Catholic, but she needs to make her first communion soon. Please, God, if they need extra help, they need to do that too. We come back to Jesus and be practicing Catholics. And that, and then this with the school is a little concerning to me because of her mental state might not be good. You know how they won't want to go back to school because of that. I think you understand what I'm trying to get at. Just pray to God to help that family, their special needs. I appreciate it. And God bless you. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you very much for calling in today. And again, here we have now a great-grandmother. So same kind of a situation where grandmas care so much about their children and worry so much about their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. But God does not want us to worry. What he wants us to do is to trust, right? He doesn't want us to have fear. Jesus himself tells us that fear is useless. What is needed is trust. And this is difficult because, of course, you know, the parents are the ones who make these decisions regarding their children. And your prayer request here is really encompassing the entirety of the child. You know, her physical well-being, her mental development and readiness for school, her emotional reality, because you don't want her to be teased and taunted and made fun of because she doesn't know her numbers or letters. And also, you're concerned about her spiritual life. You're concerned about her spiritual welfare since she remains unbaptized. And so we know that this God of ours works in and through all things, and he is right there in the midst of this situation too. Now, just in a very practical level, children develop at different rates of speed, and some children develop more quickly than others. It's an interesting thing that some children are ready for school at one age and are not ready for school at another age. And I'm thinking about the fact that their psychological, emotional development, and sometimes even their physical development, is predictive of whether or not they're ready for school. Here in the United States of America, and I think in most Western countries, there's an anticipation that children are ready at a given age. And so we begin the process. And that may hold true for a lot of the kids, but not for other kids. And I think a lot of children, enroll in school, parents enroll them at the age, like five for kindergarten, for example, and because that is what we do in this country. But it doesn't mean that every five-year-old is ready. And I think that teachers could tell you that there are a lot of children that come in at five, and they're just really not ready. They're just not ready to be separated from mom. They might not be ready to interact with a whole group or classroom of children. So we have to at least give some latitude for the development of each child, because they are individuals, as each one of us is. And so we cannot let a type of, herd mentality govern and direct the decisions that we make for individual children. I deeply regret, for example, the fact that I started my son in school at the age of five. He was not ready for it. He was absolutely not ready for it. And I further wish that I would have held him back to repeat kindergarten, because he wasn't really quite ready for it. He was very smart, very, very bright, but he still had a little catching up to do. These are the things that retrospectively parents look at and say, well, maybe there wouldn't have been this difficulty here had I paid better attention when the child was younger and just didn't go with the flow, because that's what we do. So I just want to encourage you to give a little latitude to that. However, that being said, parents are the primary educators of their children. And we don't want to depend upon, institutional education to do the work that we should do. Parents should be teaching their children their colors and their numbers and their letters before those children even go into preschool, if in fact they can do it. So, this is one of the ways in which you know if your child is ready. Are they grasping what you're sharing with them? Can they sit still, as you're trying to point out these different things to them, right? And of course, you can be very organic and playful about it. But we should be doing a good portion of that. So I would encourage your granddaughter to be attentive to that. But it sounds like your granddaughter may have her own series of problems and trials, too, that maybe she herself emotionally has some issues or is not necessarily, the kind of mom that is outrageously attentive to the child's development in these various areas. So you might want to have a little sit down, great-grandmotherly talk with her, putting it into the context of your own experience, because it's always easier to receive when we don't feel as though we are being scolded or admonished, or when we feel as though we are being looked at as not having, the capacity to do something. So I would encourage you to put it into your own experience. Listen now, when I was raising your grandmother or your grandfather, whichever of the two of those you are the mother to, whenever I was raising them, this is what I tried to do to help them be ready for school. And maybe you could do that. But we are going to pray. We're going to pray right now. And Father God, we do ask for wisdom and counsel for the mother of this little one. We ask you, please, to help this mother to understand what is necessary. And we pray that this is just not a circumvention. We pray that, and what I mean by that, Lord, is we pray that this mother is just not denying her duty and obligation to this child, both, at home and now by helping this child to further grow and develop in a way that she can do through school. So, I'm praying that this is not an easy way out for this mom who might be lazy or might be inattentive or might really just not want to put forth the obligations and duties and responsibilities that come with parenting. And so if this is the case, Lord, then I'm asking that there would be someone who would intervene and would strive to help this mom to develop in these areas. We're praying for the welfare of this child. We're praying for the emotional welfare, the developmental welfare. We're praying for the physical welfare. And we're praying ultimately for the spiritual welfare. And so I'm asking, Father, that there would be a way that this child could be baptized and could receive the fullness of life that you desire she receive through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that this great-grandmother could be a catalyst in this action to move forward. And I'm asking, Lord, that a way might be made in this problem and in this situation, that it might have the resolution that is best for this little one and ultimately best for her mother, too. And, you know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to entrust all of this to you, Mother. I'm going to put this into your most immaculate heart because, you know what? You sort through these things. You know, that's your title, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, and you sort through these things. You untie these knots that continue to confound individuals and continue to have reign over family matters. And so I'm asking now, under your title, Our Lady Undoer of Knots, in the confines of your most immaculate heart, that you would work this out and that you would, through your maternal beatitude and intercession, bring peace to this grandmother. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Ah, yes. And we want to pray for all of the children who are going to be beginning school really soon. Here in Alabama, we start really, really early. I think they're going back either early this coming week or the next week. They go back really early. So we do pray for all of these children who are going back to school, for the teachers who will guide and direct them, for the parents to have the wisdom and knowledge they need to have as their children approach this year of their educational process. Amen. All right, Vanessa, we've got some time, and I'm glad. Let's go to a next caller here.
My question is about forgiveness of sin. In the absence of going to confession, if you ask for forgiveness in your sins in the silence of your prayers, are they forgiven?
Well, thank you. This is an absolutely beautiful question, and I'm so grateful for it. And, you know, I want to give glory and praise to God right now that you asked the question, but I want to give glory and praise to him right now for the fact that you care. You care. You want to have your sin forgiven. And this is a beautiful thing. And the answer to your question is yes, it is forgiven. Now let's talk about this. As soon as we sin, and as soon as we realize that we have sinned, we ask God to forgive us. We don't wait till we get to confession. Oh, well, you know, I'll wait and then I'll take this to the Lord through the sacrament. Of course, we're going to take it to the sacrament at our next available opportunity, which we're going to be certain to strive to make available as soon as possible. All right. But we don't wait for that. You know, we could get hit by a truck. We don't know. So we ask the Lord for forgiveness. And it's not just forgiveness, and this is what we want to strive for, not just forgiveness because we fear punishment, but because we've offended God. And it's just like in our natural lives. When we've hurt someone and we know we've offended them, you know, we want to make that right as quickly as we can. As soon as we realize that we have hurt somebody, we want to make repair. And so that's what we're doing here. We want to make repair to God for the fact that we offended him. All right? So we're going to do that immediately. But as soon as we can get to confession, and this doesn't mean, well, you know, I told him I was sorry, and so everything's just fine and dandy. No, 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 no. We want to avail ourselves of the sacrament as soon as we possibly can. And in most parishes, you can go to confession, you know, obviously on Saturday, but many, many, many churches offer confession at various times through the week, and you can always call the priest, especially if it's a mortal sin. Especially if it's a grave, grave, grave offense to God. We don't want to let that linger. We want to take care of that right away. And you can call Father and you can say, Father, I have need of the sacrament and I have need of it now. Can you set up some time for me? And I am certain that he will. I am certain that he will. You can even approach him after Mass, you know, and ask him to hear your confession. Father, when you know, you take your vestments off, when you divest there, is it possible for you to hear my confession? I can't imagine any priest in the world would say no to you. Better to grab him before Mass, you know, hopefully well before Mass, so he's not, you know, running late for Mass. But, you know, that is a beautiful thing to do. Now, and understand this, this is beautiful too, that at every sacrifice of the Mass during the penitential rite, we receive forgiveness for venial sin. Right? So at every sacrifice of the Mass, there is the grace of God coming to us that absolves us of our sin. It takes place during the penitential rite when we're doing the confiteor. That is what we're saying. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts, in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. And the prayer continues. That is an act of repentance. And then what does the priest say? I absolve you, right? We have that moment of absolution. So venial sin is forgiven there, but we still want to take those venial sins to the sacrament because God heals us in that sacrament from the proclivities that cause us to commit the sin in the first place. So we don't want to deprive ourselves in any way. Take advantage of every spiritual blessing in the heavens that is available to you. That's what we want to do. Well, it's been great being with you, friends. I am going to be back with you again on Monday. You're going to hear that very special show. It is Monthly Marriage Monday, so you be sure to listen. It's going to be delightful. Yes, it is. Until then, let's promise to pray for each other. I am so happy you joined us today, and may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.